This is Tuesday, March 12th, and I'm Michelle.
And I'm Andrea.
And this is Black Girls Vibe. Andrea, what's been going on?
Oh, a lot, but definitely a lot in the sports world. What's going on your end?
No doubt, much the same, just trying to keep the car on the road. Let's get into this good sports talk right quick.
All right.
So your boy, Antonio Brown, known throughout these streets as AB, headed to the Raiders. You got any thoughts about that?
I have one thought.
Let me call. You have any thoughts that are appropriate for a podcast that you can share?
that's a very fair statement there, Michelle.
You know.
So I will say the main thought that I have, it's, I mean, we've both seen all of the drama kind of play out with AB towards the end of the season with the Steelers, and I'm just happy that it has come to some type of resolution and it's now a Raiders issue. And so if he's happy, then I'm happy. Then great.
Yeah, you know, it sounds as though he negotiated a trade whereby he got a contract in the $50 million frame, and it's going to probably net a guaranteed 30. Is that?
That's what I recall. Yeah. So, you know, again, if it kind of worked out in his favor and from a contract standpoint, and if he feels like the Raiders are a better suit than whatever kind of played out with the Steelers there over the definitely last season, then, you know, it's a good move for him, and hopefully it'll be a good move for the Raiders.
Yeah, that'll be interesting too. I mean, I you know, to the extent that I'm not a huge AB fan, but to the extent that he was savvy enough to get his way out of Pittsburgh, I guess you have to kind of commend that. You know, I don't know how well he fits in Oakland with Derek Carr as your QB. I mean, the ball has got to get to him. So it's great that he's there, but unless Carr's productivity kind of shifts or has another uptick, it'll just be interesting to see how Carr's performance will affect AB's. But I guess we'll see soon enough, right?
Yeah, we definitely will, especially, you know, given to now have another marquee name at the Raiders, considering how many players, really good quality players that they traded last season. We'll see what a Carr AB situation looks like.
Indeed. Some other news that hit a couple of days ago, you might have seen, where the U.S. women's national soccer team has actually sued U.S. soccer, alleging pay and terms of condition discrimination under the Equal Pay Act and under the Title VII Act. Title VII of the Civil Rights Act of 64. Pretty interesting way that they've approached it. Like the team, from what I saw the complaint, and the team has, as a team, each member of the team has filed, I think, like a terms and conditions. Well, no, they each one has filed an equal pay claim against the league. And basically, with that, they're saying, we do work similar to that of the men's team, but we get paid less. And the same with regard to terms and conditions. But what's really interesting about this case to me is that, like, the top players on the team, like the Rapinoes of the world, have sued under Title VII saying, you're not paying us commensurate with what you pay top player, presumably commensurate with what similarly situated players on the men's team are being played. So that's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. I did see that other athletes have come out in support of the lawsuit, probably most notably Serena, to no one's surprise, given hers and especially Venus's work around equal pay on the tennis side of the house. But pretty interesting development there. Hot off the presses, as in like last night, the sports world is abuzz with what happened in Utah between Russell Westbrook and a fan. And for those of you who might not have been in front of a TV last night or at any point today, long and short of it is, there's a video that has captured Russell Westbrook telling a fan and his girlfriend or wife, their conflicting reports, that he would F them up. The video doesn't capture what Russell said preceded that, which was the fan telling him to go back on his knees like he's used to. Russell said in the post-game presser that he thought that the comment was racist, and that's why he spoke to them as such. He went on to say he doesn't believe in hitting women. He's never hit a woman, but did say that she was making the same comments as her boyfriend or husband. The NBA has been on this, and quickly, and I guess the NBA as well as the Jazz, quickly investigated. And just this afternoon, this evening, they've announced that that fan is not going to be allowed back. I don't know if it's to Jazz games or back to that facility at all permanently. Like, he's okay. Never to, at a minimum, he's not going to see another Utah Jazz game, a home game, ever okay. again. And Russ has been fined $25,000 for using profanity towards a fan and also threatening them. There's a part of me that obviously it was inappropriate for Russell to threaten and specific, you know, and especially to threaten a woman. At the same time, I have sympathy for players these days because they confront this kind of stuff day in and day out at these games. And so what are they supposed to do with that? I don't know. I struggle with it. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, and it's something too. I mean, I agree with you there because it is they're courtside. The fans are, you know, right there. They can touch, and you know, as players move around, chase after balls, you know, they're falling into the fans. So they do have that close courtside interaction. And this isn't the first time. I think it was maybe a couple weeks ago, maybe 2-3 weeks ago, where Westbrook had the interaction with the father and the son, that exchange. And he's been very vocal about, you know, exactly to your point, just, you know, you can say certain things, you know, that are kind of in the spirit of competition, but at some point it does draw a line when it becomes personal. And it's just, you know, as it sounds like was the case in this particular instance, or could have been the case, you know, allegedly, just how it has played out with what was said. And so it is what as a fan kind of gives me the right to say these type things to a player. And then to expect the player to not have some type of reaction or response to that.
Right. Right. You know, I know the NBA is very forward thinking is the most progressive league when it comes to like mental health and mental wellness for its players. What I haven't heard enough of today, and maybe it's just me, is more of a nuanced discussion around like the mental health piece or aspect of having racial epithets or racially charged statements thrown at you during the course of the game. And so it's like this intersection between what yesterday underscores to me is like that intersection between game operations and mental health. And what are teams and the league going to do about not just providing services and resources to players to support their mental well-being off the court, but to make sure that they're in safe working environments from a mental health standpoint. And that means how are they going to modify their security measures and train and coach players that when these things are being said, let security know and let security handle it. I mean, I think looking back, like, that's what Russell should have done last night. At the same time, if you've ever been in a situation where you kind of lose it, and I think most of us have at some point, your reaction just happens. Right. And you just have to hope you don't say or do anything inappropriate, especially when race is involved. So right. I don't know.
Because that interaction last night could have easily have gotten physical. And, you know, worse than what happened, than just the verbal that was communicated and, you know, the fan now being prohibited from attending games or at least the venue, we're not sure, and then Russell being fined. It could have led to, you know, something much worse. I don't know. It's kind of a fine line, and it is the how can you control or mute the immediate in the moment reaction and then have that reaction later.
Yeah.
Some type of response.
Yeah. And, you know, frankly, I think that the NBA and the teams are going to have to be pretty deliberate and strategic about providing players strategies and effective coping mechanisms for dealing with that stuff so that it doesn't get there. So I'm hopeful that they will take these things into account as they try to strategize. I mean, it's great to tell them, well, you should just tell the you should just tell security and let them handle it. But I think there's got to be a deeper level that allows them to kind of get out and express how that stuff makes them feel. Like they just need a space where they can place that incident. And hopefully they'll get to a point where that's a part of the strategy as well. So those are some of the hot topics that are popping up this week.
Very hot.
super hot. But I know there are a few other things that have been a buzz the last few days. So the Lakers and LeBron and Magic and Rob Palenka.
Or lack thereof in the case of how they're playing this season.
And Madam Jeannie Buss. What they gonna do, man? What they gonna do?
Listen, I'm sure every player, everybody in management and on the coaching staff is trying to figure, ownership is trying to figure out that exact same thing. What are we going to do?
Right. Did I mention Walton? Because I feel like he's such an afterthought. Poor guy.
He is. So you're not alone.
I mean, that's part of the problem, right? Like, and here's the thing. Like, he's probably the one least spoken of when this topic comes up. But I tell you what, I predict he's going to be the first one to feel the repercussions.
Oh, yeah. Right? I completely agree with you.
That's coming. That is coming around the mountain.
Yeah. I'm kind of scratching my head too. I get that there were expectations for when the Lakers, you know, got LeBron and when he signed, thinking that he would probably come in and have that same type of magic that he had with the Heat, and kind of resurrected when he went back to the Cavs. But it just kind of hasn't panned out, and I don't know if it's injuries and maybe specifically like his injuries, and he was out for some time. There were periods and glimpses through the season where they looked okay, but it's just kind of like the wheels and everything else have just kind of fallen off.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. It's almost like this thing was a perfect storm, right? Like, and it's like this confluence of all these factors kind of falling amongst themselves and falling apart at the same time. And I think, you know, I've thought about it a little bit. I think at the end of the day, a huge problem is from a front office and executive leadership standpoint, and this is directed at Rob and Rob Palenka and Magic, like, can't everybody be new? Like, you need some seasoned people in these front office roles. And as charismatic as Magic is, I mean, he's no doubt, you know, there's a difference, though, between, you know, being a charismatic kind of mogul and titan and someone that can run the day to day of a business.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I'm not sure that Magic has ever demonstrated the ability prior to this gig that he had that in his skill set, that was in his wheelhouse. So and the same for Rob Palenka. I mean, this guy was an agent for years and an agent of some high profile players. But you know, we could go down the rabbit hole, but there's not time. Black Girls Vibe Tribe. I could do a whole podcast around kind of the if you want to frame it as such. We're not going to talk NFL, but kind of the Rooney Rule opportunity that was missed for Magic to have possibly brought in a GM of color to the Lakers, one with experience who's been working their way up the ranks. But we're not going to do that. So no, I'm gonna pull myself out of this rabbit hole. I so want to go down, but just say for one, you know, both Magic and Rob Palenka being new to those roles, I think is part of the problem. This being Luke Walton's first head coaching job, he's new. LeBron is obviously a seasoned championship level veteran, who I think has had the most success. I think he had the most success when he was with the Heat, in large part because you had a Pat Riley making like player personnel decisions and with all of his experience. And, you know, LeBron doesn't have that in Magic or Pelinka or Walton. And he doesn't. Pat Riley didn't let LeBron run the show in Miami either. And I'm not suggesting that the Lakers are doing that. But it does sound based on reports that he had some say in the acquisitions of folks like Rajon Rondo and Lance Stephenson. And in hindsight, like, was that wise to bring those guys in given what the Lakers needed back in the summer, you know, to form a competent roster? I mean, we've seen that when LeBron gets to kind of make decisions around who comes to play with him, the teams usually don't play that well after that, or those individuals don't perform that well. Like, remember the time that Derrick Rose played for the Cavs?
Oh, unfortunately, I do.
No,
that's all true. And it's all very true.
Rose leaves the Cavs and has this like rebirth and this reawakening. Who is he with now? The Timberwolves?
Timberwolves, yeah.
Yeah, and he's having a pretty nice little season here. So I don't know. I just think that there was too much. There was probably a bit too much capitulation towards what LeBron wanted, or who LeBron wanted to see on the roster. So I don't know. I mean, they're clearly not going to make the playoffs. Can we go ahead and put that to bed? I think statistically, I saw somewhere in the last couple of days, it's less than 1% chance they make the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're like 11th, I believe, in the Western Conference.
Right.
I don't know how many games back, but probably, like you said, statistically enough.
Yeah.
Given the number of games remaining in the season and clearly how they're playing and how far back they are, that, yeah, he's facing missing the postseason, I think, for the first time in, is it like a decade or something like that?
Yeah, and you know what? Kudos to him. He needs a break. Like, I am happy to not for
you know,
LeBron.
That's a good point. That is a very good point, because he's been going nonstop between all the postseason and Team USA and everything else. Take a break.
I mean, it's an involuntary break, but take it for what it's worth. And I mean, I think that what we're seeing now with the Warriors, how, you know, they just seem kind of to be, you know, kind of phoning it in some of these last games of the regular season. Like, I think they're starting to suffer from what LeBron has been suffering from for several years, like going back to back to back to back, deep into the finals or to the finals and winning championships, you know, three out of those. How many times? Four times? Well, that's a lot. And I think that's what we're seeing amongst the Warriors right now, as far as some of the what appears to be attrition and them losing to the Suns of all teams. How?
Oh.
But yeah, hopeful that Bus and Magic and Pelinka can get the train back on the track. I saw a pretty interesting article from Ramona Shelburne. I think she published in the last couple of days, and she's talking about how she feels as though Bus has been so concerned about the brand that she's kind of lost sight of the product.
Mm.
And I couldn't disagree with the analysis. Like, it was pretty spot on that taking for granted being in this, you know, in this hot market, that, you know, and with this brand that her father helped to create, being in one of the, you know, the sexy market, so to speak, and being so concerned about the optics of things rather than the substance of things on the court.
Right.
So getting back to that, because Dr. Buss could balance the product, you know, the emphasis of the product and the brand at the same time. And it seems as though Jeannie hasn't quite mastered that yet. And it could be that for that to happen, like maybe Magic and Pelinka aren't the guys to get her there. I don't know. I mean, I know this is what their second full season? Yeah, because I think they were hired like 2 years ago, March of 17. So they've been on the job 2 years. You know, I don't know what their contracts, I can't recall what their contracts look like, but I'm sure they'll get at least another year or two to get things back on track. So
yeah, but there'll definitely be some changes come next season, or you know, even it may not even wait until the end of this regular season. But changes are definitely coming. I would foresee in the off season, and so the Lakers could look a little different at the start of the next regular season.
I agree. And I'm kind of one of those cats that I believe that for some of the, what I'm going to call these, I don't know if you want to call them legacy teams or these teams with the strong brands in any of these leagues, like the leagues do well when these teams do well and prosper.
Right.
If you think in terms of the Lakers, if you think in terms of the Celtics, you know, I would even say like if the Bulls, you know, like I just think the league does well when these like legacy teams are performing well. So I'm hopeful that they can get it back on track. I'm not that Lakers. Magic is my favorite player ever. Like that's my all time favorite. But I'm not like a Lakers fan like that. But I like to see them do well.
Well, maybe they'll get a Anthony Davis or not, or somebody in another coaching situation and some front office changes. And like you said, put them back on track.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So another topic, these big MLB contracts.
Yes. big indeed. Numbers my mind can't even really process.
Yeah, like these are on the all-time list.
Right.
You know, both in total amounts and in like yearly averages. Like these are astronomical in nature. Do you think they're warranted? You're more the baseball cat than I am. I'm a baseball baby compared to you. So, I got to defer to you a little bit on this one.
Well, I can say so I can't fathom paying like in Bryce Harper's case 13-year, $330 million.
Yeah.
And then was Manny Machado, was it 10-year, $300
million, I believe? Uh-huh, that's it. Yeah.
Those numbers, so on the team side, I question, what value are they indeed bringing to sign that type of contract? And then what other pieces of your team are you not having in place because you have now paid this contract out?
Right.
But then on the player side, like kudos Bryce Harper and Machado.
Right, right. Tip of the cap to you because you did
like,
that.
I looked through, they're all types of signing bonuses and
yep.
Different and other perks in each of their contracts. So, you know, kudos to you and your agents for being able to sign these types of contracts that, you know, like we've never seen in Major League Baseball history.
Right,
like,
right.
It's insane.
It is insane. And Machado in particular, not going to like a glamour team. I mean, going to the Padres?
Right. Yeah. So these are like, you know, you would see like the Yankees and mm-hmm. and those types, you know,
Red Sox, Dodgers, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, for the Phillies and the Padres especially to pay out this type of money, they must foresee some type of payoff over these terms that I'll just have to bear witness to as the seasons play out.
You know, one thing this did that their monster contracts did make me think about just for a second was, you know, Kyler Murray's decision after having signed, after having been drafted by the A's last year and working out as a part of that agreement to go finish out his college playing days at Oklahoma. And now he's made the decision, obviously, to play for the NFL, and it's just a matter of, sounds like he's a first round draft pick, and we'll see what that looks like. But it's interesting that he chose football over baseball. But the general conventional wisdom is that baseball is more, from a player standpoint, contracts are more lucrative on the baseball side rather than the football side, because baseball contracts come guaranteed and only a portion of NFL contracts are guaranteed. But I understand now that the one exception to that general rule is the quarterback position.
Mm-hmm.
That, so because he's a potential first round pick for as a quarterback position, he will have more earning potential on the NFL side than he would the MLB side. Now, of course, that means he's got to pay back the $5 million signing bonus he got from the A's last year.
Right.
But I'm sure he can stroke that check pretty easily.
I think so.
I'm not worried about him.
Right.
But yeah, there's money in baseball, clearly.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he'll pay that back. And I'm like you too, because, you know, we've talked about this before, just how the long term and the longevity of baseball careers are typically more than in the NFL. But you're right. It's a different story when you talk about the quarterback. I will be very interested in where he's drafted in the first round, if he's, you know, first pick or top five, or what that looks like and how his contract then plays out. And then if at some point in his career he decides to, you know, pick up that baseball option and try and do both sports.
Well, listen, here's my prediction, you know, my hot take, if you will. When there's a lockout in the NFL in 2 years, he'll play baseball.
Oakland A's.
He'll play baseball. It seems like, I think the contract is it next year? It's either 2020 or 2021. Contract negotiations are back up again, and everything seems destined towards some form of lockout or strike. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see what the dual threat athletes on the NFL side do should there be a lockout in place in a season or two.
Mm-hmm.
So good luck to them all. I mean, there's money in baseball. And this is the rabbit hole I'm not going to go down either, about how truly reflective of all the sports leagues in this country, baseball, I think, is more a reflection of the country than any other sport. But we're not going to touch that today, Andrea. We are.
Yep. Okay.
We are almost 30 minutes into this thing. So that wraps up our major topics for this episode. Andrea is so dope. She's allowing me to take special dispensation this week as far as our Black Girl Magic moment. This week, I want to shout out my goddaughter, Caitlin Michelle Thomas, who is an extraordinary person, but specifically she's an extraordinary dancer. And she auditioned for and was accepted to participate and to be on the Dancing Dolls of Birmingham. And for those of you for whom Dancing Doll sounds familiar, their founder and choreographer, Miss D, has a show on Lifetime called Bring It. And so I'm tremendously excited for Caitlin, this opportunity, the dancing exposure she's going to get, the travel opportunities. I couldn't be prouder of her. So she's my Black Girl Magic moment for this week.
All right. Kudos to Caitlin.
Yes, ma'am. Andrea, you know, we got some more topics that we're going to hit next week. Speaking of topics that we've been meaning to get to, speaking of baseball in particular, we attended the Atlanta Chop Fest gala back in January.
We did. Yeah, kind of a, nice little end of season leading into kicking off Braves into the baseball season a little early. But yeah, it was a nice nice event. We got a chance to interact with some of the Braves players. Some of them received awards. It was a great time. A couple months ago seems like it was just yesterday.
It does, but I'm looking at the program. It was January 18th, so it was almost two months ago. Yeah. You know, for me being, like, as I've said before, Andrea is the more baseball forward one between the two of us, much more knowledgeable than I. So I'm kind of catching up with regard to baseball. But as someone who's learning the game and the players, I thought the gala was a pretty cool way to get exposure and learn who some of the key players are off top. One of the inductees into, one of the things they do is induct Braves players into the Braves Hall of Fame. And they inducted Terry Pendleton, who I didn't have any exposure to prior to that, that occasion that night, but he really won me over. I'm a fan of his, truly, and subsequently saw him in the recent 30 for 30 that was done on Deion Sanders.
Okay.
I don't, probably haven't seen it yet, but yeah, so I was like, oh, you know, like, yeah, he would have played with Deion back in the day. So it was a very cool event. And the way they have it set up is that it's at the Roxy at SunTrust Park. And so anybody who's been in there, like on the floor, on the floor level, they had tables, like rounds of 8 or 10. And then there's like a balcony area. And for $50, fans could come and sit in the balcony area and watch and attend and observe. And then there were corporate tables and the like down on the floor. And at the tables, there was a player, an active player assigned to each table. So that was pretty cool, too, because you got to have some one-on-one interaction. But yeah, very cool event. Very cool
event. It was.
I enjoyed it thoroughly. Terry Pendleton is one of my favorite Braves from the early 90s seasons with David Justice and Ron Gant and that whole crew. So it was nice to kind of see him receive or be inducted into the Braves Hall of Fame and hear him speak so eloquently about his career and what the organization has meant to him and baseball in general.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, friend, looks like it's probably time for us to wrap this one up. Next week, we will be probably the first play-in games for March Madness. And we should tee up that we're going to have a tournament bracket.
Yes, we are.
So y'all need to be on the lookout for that. We will post it on our Facebook page. We just started an Instagram account. Check us out at Black Girls Vibe Tribe on Insta. As always, find us on Facebook at the same address, Black Girls Vibe Tribe. Find us on all the podcast platforms you can imagine, including Anchor, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Radio Public. We are on a lot of platforms. But if there's a platform that you frequently use for your podcast and we're not on it, let us know and we'll try to get on it. We want to make things easier for you. So that's all I got. Andrea, what about you?
No, I think that's it. Until next week, finish out watching these conference tournaments. And then, yeah, ready to kick off March Madness.
Yeah, let's do it. All right, guys, we'll talk to you next week.
All right.